weekly. It's special. Pranks and Firth weekly. Never gonna go away again. Pranks and Firth podcast with me, Ash Frith, and always there every week, it's Justin Panks.
You're gonna push the narrative that it's me that's been letting.
No.
I got to be honest. That sounded like the precursor to an under the bus push.
No, I wouldn't. That isn't how we'd do it.
That's a new phrase, isn't it? Has that come from across the pond in the US of A? This throw me under the bus.
I would say, I'll get back to that. I would say that I have been fully responsible for the last week or so.
Yeah.
Sure.
No, we don't need to go into
it. We've recorded two podcasts in the last 9 months, so...
Well, come on, it's been what 9 months it's been. But we don't need to apportion an exact percentage of blame or specifics, but it's not all me. Let's just put that out there.
No, the last week or so has been me. So.
But that indicates, right, you cunt, that the last 8 months and 3 weeks has been me. I would say 6 to 8 months has been me.
And don't forget the big gap we had beforehand when you were chronically ill.
Yeah, and then other things. But anyway, I've had a day today. I snapped at a woman in a shop.
Oh, go on. Yes, that's what we're here for. That's what we gathered around for.
Yeah, not in a like a patriarchal way. She was working in a shop and I was not happy with the way she was dealing with me. And I actually went very, very passive aggressive, which is so unlike me, but like noticeably so. Like if you, like I said, if we were to apportion, as I just said, let's not apportion a percentage to blame. If I was to apportion a percentage to my passiveness via aggressiveness, it was 5% passive and 95% aggression.
Right.
In okay. My eyes.
Yes. Yeah.
Here's the full story from the
That's basically where you operate at, though, isn't it? That kind of level.
Yeah. That's the thing. So when you've got a short fuse, I guess it's okay. So you've got. Let's look at that as a scale. Like you've got. So 50% is a very even-keeled, well-rounded character, and then you could be. You know, you could go more, the little sort of indicator in the middle of the scale could go more towards too agreeable and a pushover.
Hello.
And then it can go too far the other way where you're a bit of a psycho. Hello.
Oh, there is.
Yeah. So I think obviously the closer you are to aggression is the closer your scale gets to that is the shorter the your fuse is.
As a linear fuse.
Exactly. Yeah, but you're too close to killing yourself.
My fuse is so long.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm miles away.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So you're the sort of person that would go home and hit yourself in the thigh with a slipper and just bite the pillow and cry. Whereas I just like would. So anyway, this is the story.
Actually, my technique is to rearrange the slippers on the floor into a different position. That's how I deal with things.
I went round a bloke's house once, and to say he was house proud, let's just say this. I walked into the lobby, and he looked me up and down. He went, "Hi, Justin, what are you, about 9.5? I went, yeah.
Like he This better not be what I think.
Opened a cupboard, like a bowling alley. He had slippers of all different sizes. Just chuck them on, mate. Chuck me a pair of moccasins.
Beautiful.
I mean, and he was so well versed in it, he could spot a man's shoe size.
That's pretty impressive. How many did he have?
Lots.
See, someone has just started cutting down a tree right near where I'm recording. I don't know if you can pick that up. But you came round my house a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
Straight at the door, shoes off.
I'm a shoes off policy.
Yeah.
I mean,
I appreciate it. I wouldn't have cared if you wore your shoes.
No. Would have. This rule of thumb. Go in someone's house, just have a little look down. Socks, if they've got socks or slippers on.
I mean, whenever you go in anyone's house, you're looking down, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm looking down at the floor saying, I don't deserve to be in here. Do you want me to go out in the garden and talk to you through the letterbox?
On their home.
What, from the tree?
Looking down on their DIY work.
Oh, no. I thought you meant like looking down as in I was in a tree wanking, looking through the window.
No, it wasn't what I meant, but...
Well, you know, it was an easy mistake to make. So anyway, here's my tale. And that isn't my... infantized euphemism for my penis. Yeah. Look at my little tail, Ash. My front tail. What I did was I've hit hard times. I don't mind admitting it. I'm selling everything I own, hawking my wares, things I've accumulated over my lifetime, my most prized possessions. I've sold all my weight training equipment.
It's been a good 9 months or so, hasn't it?
Oh, God. So then I'm also selling my beautiful vinyl collection, which I'd never thought I would.
And that's why we're back, listeners. Yeah. If you are interested in Justin's vinyl collection, get in touch.
So anyway, I sold two albums this week, two LPs. I sold The Them, which is from 1964, which is the band that Van Morrison was in, the Irish sort of rhythm and blues band. Their biggest hit was probably Baby Please Don't Go, a cover. So I had that on Decca on mono, sold that for like 45 quid, it was worth a lot more. And I also sold the Kinks debut LP, which was on Pi Records, I think, which is a mono. Sold that for like 28 quid, it's probably worth more than that. They're both in pristine condition, so I had to wrap them up and post them. Now, where I'm staying at the moment is not near a post office, but I knew from going to an Aldi's that there's a post office opposite the Aldi's. Now listen to this. Big shop, big post office. You know the universal post office sign, the sort of red rugby ball shaped sign that says,
of course, yes.
That says post office. So I park in Aldi's, walk in there with my two LPs all wrapped up very securely packaged. Bloke behind the counter goes, oh, so in the post office. Like the signage is all red. So I went, huh? He goes, yeah, it's not a post office. There's one about 3 miles away next to a co-op, in a co-op. So I'm like, oh, all right. So I walked outside, looked at the sign. I've only been honey-dicked to go in there, mate, with a little bit of false advertising. When I read the small print, there's tiny red, there's a big white sign. And in sort of quite small red writing, it says, you can buy everything here that you would expect to find in your, then that big post office symbol.
Wow.
So you can basically, if you want some elastic bands and a jiffy bag, have at it. You want to actually post something? No, mate, this isn't a
post
office.
Did it have the post office sign?
I'm going to take a picture. I should have took a picture of it. Yes. You can't post
That's
letters.
That's incredible.
So then I drove to this one at the co-op, which was miles away. So there's a woman on a little post office, but it's like a co-op. And she hasn't got like a proper post office window. There's like three tills, and one of the tills has got a scale in front of it and a little sign on the sort of bottom that says post office, you know, on the bottom in front of like where her knees would be.
Yeah.
Like where the, yeah, I don't know why I'm over-explaining that.
I know what you mean.
Yeah, yes, I was going to say like on University Challenge where the name of your college would be, but that is over-egging.
We've all been in shops.
So anyway, I'm in the queue for the guy who's just on the till holding these two packages. And there's a little angry woman on the post office counter doing nothing. And she looked up at me and she had that short, spiky hair, what women in their mid to late 50s sometimes have, heavily coloured. And she's doing that thing where she's got her chin pulled back into her neck. It's like an aggressive stance, what older women do.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Do you know what I mean? Her chin is like, her head's back and her chin is like pushed down into her neck. And she's looking at me and she knows I'm waiting for her. And I don't want to say, oh, was that the post office separate queue? There was like two people in front of me. So anyway, the guy serves one person, they leave. And now there's only one person in front of me queue. And the young bloke beyond the counter goes, oh, were you waiting for the post office? I went, yeah. He goes, oh yeah, if you want to come over here and see Sarah, whatever her name was, right? So she just looks up at me angrily. Don't know what I've done wrong. If anything, I think I've been a very patient boy.
Yeah.
So I walk over, she walked up and she went, oh, hello, like that. And I'm like, I weren't in the mood. Having just been through this fucking fake post office business.
Yeah, yeah, you've been duped before.
The post office shakedown where he thinks while you're in there, you go, oh, well, a minute, can I have a bag of crisps? Like, and he thinks he's going to get passing trade. So she went, hello. And I went, hello. And then she looked at me and I went, are you all right? And she went, yeah. Do you want to post then? I went, yeah, I do. So that was a passive. For me, that was quite big because I actually am more like you than I like to let on. And I sort of,
I know. Of course I know.
I put up with so much, but I was very. I didn't sleep well last night. I had what restless.
What was this today?
This was just now.
Wow.
Yeah, so I've posted them.
I mean, it doesn't sound like a massive event, I'm going to be honest with you, but.
Well, I've got to find something to talk about. I've been laying in the fetal position crying for 9 months. What do you want?
Well, yeah, I guess it's good. Well done for getting out of the house.
I'm in the house. Oh, not earlier. Yeah. No, I went out earlier. I am again. How nice to be not homeless. Don't never take that for granted, Ash.
I've done it. Don't you worry.
Never take your four walls. You know, sleep in your car in December and January in Britain and tell me.
Oh, come on. You had a sofa for one of those nights.
How can you tell me you're lonely and say for you that the sun don't shine? Let me take you by the hands and lead you through the streets of Norwich. I'll show you.
You've had me to rest with.
With your very kind and generous, not at all cunty comments to keep me warm.
Hey.
So I saw you the other day and I went into your friends. I'm going to say our friends.
Yes.
Coffee shop.
You did. Barlow and Fields, Leon C.
Barlow and Fields, up an alley in Leon C.
Yes.
Struggled to find it. Had to walk up the steepest cobbled alley beside a church.
I mean, you went the wrong way, but you had a lovely little walk.
But it was school time. Here's a Leon C thing. Talk about belt and braces. Explain to me thus. Fucking lollipop ladies on Pelican Crossings.
Yeah, they have that.
Why? I've never seen that anywhere else. So the light, for the listener, to paint the full picture, driving along in my motor car, light is red at Pelican Crossing. I stop at the Pelican Crossing. A lollipop lady walks to the middle of the zebra crossing, or Pelican Crossing, holds up the stop sign, kids cross, the lights start flashing orange, lollipop lady jogs off the... It's like, you don't need this bitch.
Yeah.
So that is that because Leon C is very...
posh. They love running down kids.
Has there been accidents there?
Yeah, I would imagine there has, yeah.
I thought lollipop ladies were to help you cross, like, roads where there isn't a zebra crossing or pelican crossing.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. But yeah, they have them all over the place. I reckon it's one of the highest sort of populated jobs around where I live, lollipop people.
Well, anyway, when you said I went the wrong way, it was just carnage, kids, Chelsea tractors everywhere.
You parked down by the sea, didn't you?
Well, I wanted to walk along the seafront, so I decided to park at the seafront, then walk to Barlow and Fields.
Yeah, big hill. Big hill there, mate.
Mate, my calves were burning, my lungs were burning it, and it's pretty steep.
Yeah, it is.
So then I walked to Barlow and
they're
Fields.
They're odd length and size as well, because it's so old. It's not like you can go...
Once I hit the steps, I was all right, but there's actually a big cobbled slope.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
And that church has got quite a macabre statue of our Lord and Saviour hanging on the cross.
Yeah, there has. But you see, there's people live at various points up that slope.
Yeah. There's like rows of like white wooden houses. It's very picturesque.
How do they get there every day?
What about when you've got a couple of packs of shopping, mate?
Yeah, because there's a car park for those flats down the bottom.
I say the council, never mind spending all this money on lollipop ladies, get a fucking ski lift up that alley. That's what you really need round there. But it's very quaint and picturesque round there. Apparently you told me I was in Old Lee.
Yeah, at that point, you'd parked in Old Lee and you'd walked up into Lee.
So I walked down to the seafront.
Yeah.
And I saw two things I've never seen before.
Go on.
In Southend, or Lee, whatever you want to call it, they've decided to just dump about 100 tonnes of asphalt onto the top of the sand. To stop
it eroding.
And then also, along that pavement, several times, it looked like someone had gone down on a hot day with a load of bottle lids. Have you seen this?
Yeah, this is a big thing.
And stamped them into the soft asphalt.
Yeah.
And made little colourful patterns of bottle caps.
Yeah, they're so well known, those, that you know the popular children's game Pokemon Go?
Yeah.
That people use. That is a Pokestop.
Yeah,
bottles.
See, I spot everything, mate. I've never seen that before. Is that a Leon C phenomenon?
There's a few of them on that wall because you walk down the
sea.
Yeah,
and I noticed every single one of them, Ash.
There you go. And you could have picked up some Pokeballs or something.
Well, I would, except I'm not a fucking nerd.
Well, you know.
Well, I am, but not for Pokemon. Do people still do the Pokemons?
Yeah, very popular Pokemons.
Hmm.
They just announced the thing where you can pay £15 a year and have a place to keep all your Pokemons in a sort of virtual home, which I think's weird, really, because they don't exist. So you're paying...
Neither does money, really,
does
it?
Yeah, but that's basically it. You're paying £15 a year to store the idea of you having
Well, that's what you do with money if you think about it. Like, you pay a bank charges for them to have your money, but, like, you actually... When was the last time you physically went and paid cash in? Very rarely. That's just the same.
Yeah.
It's not actual money, is it?
No, it's not. But, yeah, is it the same? Because these are for all imaginary monsters.
And so's money. Oh, that bit of satire. They're the biggest monster of all, mate.
Anyway, Thrown Under the Bus was on the first news on the 21st of June, 1982, by The Times, when they were talking about a president throwing a political commentator under the bus.
What? Who's on what bus?
Just a bus.
Yeah, I know.
The only way you're going to stop the comments were to throw her under a bus.
Okay.
So from 1982, it's a weird analogy, isn't it?
I don't understand why it's a bus. It could say anything. You could say push off a cliff.
Yeah, it could have been anything, but they chose bus. It's as if to say the only way you're going to shut her up is by killing her under a bus.
See, now it's morphed, as phrases and language often does, because, well, the way there's a little extra... You know how sometimes you hear a phrase and you think it's got a little extra meaning?
Yeah.
Like, I take throwing you under someone under the bus.
You're very good at this. You're very good at these.
No, but I don't mean that. But I mean, when someone says it, I don't think it just means to kill someone and shut them up. I think it's more about sacrificing someone.
Yeah. You've made a... They are taking the hit.
Yeah, exactly. Taking a bullet. I've took one for the team. Obviously, the original...
You've used two others.
Yeah, well, the original throw under the bus obviously wasn't that. But I think it's morphed to mean, I don't want to throw you under the bus, Ash, but...
The earliest known usage of this phrase was the 21st of June 1982 when Julian Critchley of The Times...
Yeah, London, Julian Critchley, yeah.
...wrote, President Galtieri has pushed her under the bus, which the gossips had said was the only means of her removal. So
that's the first usage in print.
Yes.
Because that was before the internet. That would have been on Urban Dictionary a long time before it was printed in The Times.
Urban Dictionary.
You know what I mean, one of those...
But that they're using it there for the first time. They've invented it there because that's just someone saying that. Isn't it weird how that caught on? Like, someone read that and went, oh, I'm going to use that.
It's quite a long and unwieldy phrase also. It's not really... But it just makes sense. I don't know. It's like I said, there's loads of options, you could say, for killing someone.
Well, you just used others. Taking one for the team.
Yeah, when I first heard that, I thought that meant being bummed.
It can do.
Yeah, I've took one for the team. Because that's another one, isn't it?
What the situation is.
It's like, I'll tell you what, the boss is coming and I'm the one that's got fucked up the arse. I've got to do the overtime. That's another one, isn't it?
I've been fucked up the arse.
Yeah, people say that, don't they? And we're going to get turned over here. That's what that means, isn't it? Getting turned over.
I thought that came from, like, rugby. Taking the ball and...
No, getting turned over is like if someone turns you over onto your front and has at it with your rumple.
Are you sure? Because I would have thought turned over was like a turnover of play.
No, I think getting turned over means that I've got turned over. We're getting turned over. It means we're getting prepared. We're getting readied for penetration against our will. No? Have I just got that sort of mind? I mean, it makes sense.
I mean, I'm looking it up. I can't find another meaning of it. It might have been that.
Well, I think the beautiful thing about language is it can mean all these things to different people, can't it?
The weird thing... Oh, yeah, I was listening to a podcast the other day talking about that. Like, to peruse, they were saying there's loads of expressions that we kind of use to mean the opposite.
Yeah.
Whereas I always thought the term peruse meant...
Can I say what I think it means, if it's the same?
Yes.
I would say to peruse was to have a leisurely, slow, languid, unhurried look at something.
That's exactly it. To really study something and look in detail at it.
Yeah.
Whereas I thought it was to kind of idly wander around, like, you know, just kind of cast an eye.
I thought it meant to really sort of unhurried,
scrutinize.
I would say.
Scrutinize.
Yeah.
But that is what it means.
So I thought peruse was more of a time issue rather than a depth of looking.
Yeah, but it kind of is, really take your time and study something.
Right.
But a lot of people find it to mean, you know, just I'm idly... Like, you could... I thought perusing in a supermarket, for example...
Browsing.
Just a browse.
Cursory. It's the opposite of cursory.
Yes, it is. And the other one is nonplussed.
Yeah, well, nonplussed is an odd one, isn't it? Because nonplussed means if you're plussed, I would have is like to be bothered. So nonplussed is I'm sort of like indifferent.
No, nonplussed means surprised by something.
Oh.
Yes, but everyone uses it to mean exactly what you've just used it to mean.
Yeah,
Everyone does.
I'm
It's just
nonplussed.
so then it means that, doesn't it? Because most people saying it,
Well, look at the
that.
like the word gay. That's changed meaning, hasn't it?
Yes,
It
it used
used
to
to just
mean.
it used to be in the Flintstones song, didn't it?
Yeah, they had a gay old time.
Yeah. So words that a language does evolve.
It's only words,
Well,
isn't it?
some of them are very, very bad words, we mustn't say.
You've said cunt already, I will point that out.
Well, that wasn't the one I was thinking of. But
All right, okay. You're always thinking of the other ones.
no, I'm not always thinking of
Especially
the
if you're recording a podcast or on the radio
Oh,
or.
it's that thing where you people are you're at the wedding and I'm going to a wedding in the summer and someone says, is there any reason why these two shouldn't be married? And then my little devil in my brain's going, gorgeous, don't get out, fuck your life up. Ruin it for everyone. Go on, like everyone hate you. Just shout something out. Shout out one of those words you're thinking of.
We both live that life, mate.
Well, actually, I told a fib then. I'm going to two weddings this summer.
Are you?
I'm going to one, which I found out about the day before yesterday, which is 2 weeks before yours.
Wow.
That one's in
I.
Greece.
Oh.
So I'm just saying, I'm sure we'll make the best of yours, won't we? It'll be fine. Your little one in Essex.
There'd be some booze, wouldn't there? You'd be
Yeah,
all
well,
right.
it'll probably be all right, won't it? We'll just make the best of it,
Sweet.
Ash. I tell you what, mate. We'll make the most of it, won't we? Your little one. But the other one's in Greece. Beautiful blue seas, blue skies.
We get married in a field.
Well, again, I think my the other one. I'm best man as well, so you know. But yours
What?
will be,
You're
yeah, the other one. The other one. But yours will be. I mean, we'll make the most of it. We will. We'll have a, you know.
Hang on. One of your kids getting married?
No, but they might be coming with me. But I don't know.
Who the fuck? Who's best man of you?
Somebody I know.
Okay.
And I think. And I've been saying to people, oh, the only reason I've been asked to be best man is why? Why do you think?
Because you've got the time off, you can go to Greece.
No, yeah, but also they think that they're going to get a good speech.
Is it in a car park like that other one you went to?
No, that was in Tel Aviv. And that was amazing. That was probably the best wedding I've ever been to be honest.
Did you have to wear some traditional dress?
Yeah, I've shown you the pictures of me dressed. The night before the wedding was a thing called a chuppah, and it was like because the groom's family were they weren't Israeli Jews, they were Yemen, I think, and it was a bit more. So it was very like we had this thing, and it was like four sticks with a cloth roof on, and they were getting carried around under it on like this sedan throne thing. And I was walking around dressed up like a bishop. I looked like a bishop, but I had like these Moroccan kind of long robes on and a traditional like a mitre looking hat, like a fez. And I was holding this one of the sticks above them as they got carried around, and everyone went la, 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 and they were throwing sweets at them. And they did this thing where they got chocolate money, chocolate coins, and they dipped them in henna, and then they pressed them into the bride and groom's hands. So they made indentations of money on their hands. So when they got married, they had all this like money on their hands, like prints of money on their
Well,
hands.
that might be one of the reasons why our wedding's so expensive. We're just doing that with real money, I think, I assume.
I'll come push a fiver in your hand, mate, when I give you a handshake. Have
Oh, I'd
you
like that.
ever done that at a gig where some promoter gives you a handshake with the money, you like fold it up
Oh.
like they think they're on fucking Snatch or something?
Why do people do that?
So.
I've had it in an envelope before, like, and they've done that. It's like, well,
Yeah.
you haven't folded it. This isn't surreptitious.
Sometimes I will be discreet if I'm paying someone in front of an open spot.
Yeah, because you don't want open spot to expect it.
I kind of feel bad like going, oh yeah, you both did really well. Here's your money. And yeah, good luck on the train, you mate. Bye. That just feels a bit like it's just a bit awkward, that is.
Part of the game, mate. Part of the
Oh, I've been
game.
there, I've been there. Oh, can you remember your first?
Yeah, I think my first paid gig was. I saw a poster for it. It just popped up. I was going through my phone, and I was at in. it said Dagenham, but it was really Romford. FA Cup final day.
Oh, you've told me this story many times. Was this the horror gig where one act did really well and you didn't like it?
Yeah, that is true. But they said, right, everyone out the pub, or you've got to pay a tenner and stay because there's comedy happening. And they're like, what? Like, the FA Cup final just finished.
And they'd lost.
And they'd lost West Ham.
Yeah.
And they said, right, yeah, you've either got to get out or pay a tenner to stay and there's going to be comedy on. So people paid a tenner because they wanted to carry on drinking. Then the guy came up to me and went, oh, we haven't got an MC because last month we had this person on. They did so badly, we just decided not to have one this month. So we just, you'll just go on and start. So I went on and just talked for probably 15 minutes. At one point, I turned to the promoter and just went, do you want me to carry? Should I carry on? Do you want me to carry on?
Oh, that is the worst, isn't it?
And I got paid £30, I think.
Yeah, my first ever paid was 25, and I didn't know I was getting paid.
Oh, really? That's lovely.
Yeah, like it was through a quite a large but small scale booker, and it was like just go do the middle spot, the open spot. And at the end, the bloke went, here you go, and there was an envelope with my name on it, and I was like, I didn't want to open it. I was like, I knew it was money. But I put it on my passenger seat and I was like, fuck, this is quite a... It wasn't. It didn't feel like a big deal, but you know, sometimes you think it should be. I mean, I didn't actually feel, oh, this is a big moment. But I sort of knew that other people would. So I sort of went along with it, even though I was on my own, because I think I'm mental.
I know exactly what you're... I can't say this specific instance, but I know exactly what you're talking about. That feeling of, I should be giving more...
If I was the star of a biopic about my life, this would be a plot point that would be flagged up and would be sort of like milked. So I had it on my passenger seat and I was driving on going, oh, that's... I didn't feel anything. But I was going,
let me tell you something. Let me interrupt. Let me shock you. The Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
I landed in the Grand Canyon in a helicopter. I went, oh, okay.
Yeah, but you sort of look around and you're like taking it in and it's almost like... It's almost like people are, even if there's no one there, this is maybe too much information about how mental I am. Even though I was completely on my own driving back from Bishop Stortford at 11 o'clock at night, down the M11, I was looking at this envelope as if like someone was looking at me looking at it, like I was putting on a show of looking at it,
even though
I was on my fucking own.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, this should be significant, so I'm going to have to pretend it is to no one.
I'm going to have to do some ceremony regarding this thing. And then, because other people I know have like kept that money or framed that money even. An act that has their first payment in a frame in the toilet.
Hmm.
Yeah.
But well, if I had done that in the last 6 months, I would have smashed that frame and got the money out. But
yeah, exactly.
No, but I mean, it's, you know, like with black cab drivers, they're meant to give their first fare for free.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, well, it's a tradition. Once you pass the knowledge, your first fare, you're meant to go, oh, it's my first one. It's on, you know, it's on the house sort of thing. But I worked in a minicab firm with a guy that was studying to do the knowledge, and he worked in the office. He wasn't a minicab driver, but he was in the industry. Plus, he was driving a black cab at the weekends, and he was Greek, and it was a big thing. Everyone got him a cake. There was a shape of a taxi. Well done on passing the knowledge. On Friday, and then on Monday, I was like, how'd you go? Because he told me this. I was to sort of talk to him about it. I found it quite interesting because it's a thing, isn't it? It's like doing the knowledge isn't just like training to be. It's sort of saying, I don't know, something weird about it. It's like,
it's a weird mental.
Yeah, yeah. And there's all sort of these little tricks.
Almost unhuman.
Yeah, it really is. It's like learning a fucking superpower, isn't it? Like knowing every street in London and the best way to get.
The best way to get there, yeah, yeah.
So this is before SatNav, obviously, yeah. But, so he came
still
in.
Still going though.
Yeah, he came in on Monday, and I went, how was it? And he went, yeah, it was good. He goes, I really got the hang of it. Like, I started off a bit slow, but blah, blah. And then I go, did you do your first fare for free? He went, he's Greek. He went, did I fuck? He goes, it's free Turkish with me. They're lucky I didn't charge them double. So
unless racism comes. Yeah,
exactly that. Exactly that. I was like, the thing is, he'd never lived in Greece. His parents were Greek. He was born in London. If a white geezer said, no, it's like a black bloke, it's like I didn't charge him double. I mean, I would have been like, fuck, that is completely out of order. But because I feel like I don't know nothing about the Greece v. Turkey thing, I was like, oh, okay. I sort of like...
Yeah, I don't think anyone would expect you to challenge.
No, but you would, like, if it, okay, but that, why would you challenge? What if a white guy said, no, it's two blacks, and fucking charged them double? You'd have been like, come on, mate, can't say that.
Yeah, I would have been.
But I just think that they're really angry about each other still, aren't they, the Greeks and the Turks? I don't want to get involved.
It's very raw. I don't know the situation.
No, it's probably like 200 years ago or something. But if I went, oh, come on, mate, that's racist. He'd be like, what the fuck do you know? What the fuck do you know? You know nothing about it. And I'd be like, shit. Like that short fuse thing again.
I mean, more and more you talk about it, the more and more it's apparent that your fuse is a lot longer than you think it is.
Yeah, no, but I know there's certain things you don't get involved in.
Yeah.
And that's like feuds between other countries you don't know anything about. I've committed so many faux pas. Like, I have said things like, oh, you got... Because I think we had two wars with Germany, but like I wouldn't discriminate against a German person, and that was probably more recent. But then you say to someone...
Probably. We don't know, do we? It might have been last year.
Yeah, but yeah, that's exactly right. But I have said something to like someone from Greece once. And he went, how would you feel if France invaded up to Newcastle and just killed everyone? I was like, yeah, okay. I'm just going to just pretend we're not having this conversation, change the subject. But I don't know that.
Yeah, it's like, anyway, I've got to go.
My phone's ringing. Like... Have you ever done that and held it up to your ear and then someone calls you while you're pretending?
Oh, I've seen it done on the train. I've seen that happen on the train.
Someone was pretending to talk to someone as their phone started ringing.
Yep. And just hilarious. It was before iPhones or anything. And the person literally went, oh, sorry. Like someone's, oh, like John, are you all right? Oh, yeah, good. Oh, hold on, sorry. And he held the phone on his ear for about 10 seconds. Sorry. And then just it started ringing then. And everyone in the area saw it.
I'll tell you something that made me feel old. I was going through like a box of old stuff in front of my children. And I pulled out like an old phone I had. And they were like, what's that? And I was going, that's like a phone, mobile phone. And like, not only do they not remember a time before mobile phones, they were going, it's got buttons on it.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it had actual physical buttons on it and like a screen that wasn't a touch screen.
Yeah. What colours does it have? No, none.
Yeah, no, no. You can't send dick pics on it.
Do you remember that phone that was like a lipstick, a Nokia phone?
Yeah, it was a really popular 9910 or something.
And it just had a little circle on the front.
And then you had to update
all your
numbers
via your computer. Yeah, it did. Yeah.
Yeah.
You had to update it all on your phone. On your
We might be talking about a different phone. I'm talking about the one that was like a N95, but it was small and it had a sliding front and it was made out of metal. It was like the tiniest phone at the time.
Oh no! Yeah, I know that one. But this one is literally a little rectangle the size of a lipstick, Nokia as well, and it popped down. So it would extend slightly, but there wasn't a screen on it. You just had to rotate through your numbers.
Oh, like an iPod Mini. The first generation of iPod Mini didn't have any nano.
Yes.
It was just like a little wheel that you had to sort of, and a shuffle button.
Yeah, so I don't know how you knew which number you were calling. I don't know how that worked. But then you would just press it. But to update it, you had to go on your actual computer and plug it in and do stuff like
that. Noise. Hey, this is weird. Companies that manufactured one thing and then manufactured something else. As you probably know, Nintendo used to make playing cards.
Was it cards? I couldn't remember.
It was something like that. Do you know Nokia were manufactured before they got big in the phone?
I mean, this is, one of those that I have heard before, but I can't remember now.
I think it was like rubber Wellington-type style boots.
And then they probably just had a tiny bit of an electrical arm.
Yeah,
I think they were
more famous for Wellington boots. That might be wrong. I don't know. I'm doubting myself again.
Saab, that was aeroplane, so I guess that's not quite such a big leap.
Best car I ever had. I love that. I've still missed that car.
Sorry.
Fell asleep and destroyed it. Smashed the clutch in, mate. Nearly died.
I don't think you ever said you fell asleep before.
Fell up, came off the road. I was a bit tired that night. Don't know why. Sometimes I get tired, Ash.
Yeah, you do get tired.
Yeah, tired. I just get tired. I didn't sleep at all well last night. Had restless legs, but also restless in my wrists.
Restless wrists?
Yeah, like a horrible feeling in my wrists, like they were sort of jacked up with energy and I didn't know what to do with them. So, well, one of them I sorted Never out, mind. But the left one was... gave one of them a little run out. No, I didn't do that. That's disgusting. Haven't done that for ages.
All right, mate.
Like 6 months. Honestly, gone off it. Gone right off it, mate.
This is a new feature. Justin's wank clock.
No, wank log.
Justin's wank diary. Day...
yeah.
Day 163.
Yeah. No, if I was on not. Big Brother, I'd be like, Dear 63, Justin has not had a wank again.
Justin is well off it.
Justin, balls look like a fucking...
Space hopper. Two space hoppers sellotaped together.
Full of pudding. Justin's... scrot, it's like a fucking peas pudding. What is a peas pudding? That's like a northerner would scarf down, isn't it? Like a peas pudding full of tripe.
Rolled across a barbershop floor.
Full of tripe. Justin has not masturbated for so long. He's just involuntarily ejaculated tripe. White
constantly
and white. It's all white tripe. And flabby and hanging out the end like one of those weird mushrooms on a tree trunk.
Justin ejaculated rice pudding.
Justin has just shot what looks like an ice cube out of the tip of his penis.
That's how we're going to end all podcasts now, with your wank diary. I think it is now time to wrap up. We're hoping we can keep these more regular, and the Patreon is still paused, but we are going to get together and we're going to get all of the extra content, and then you can get your extra stuff, Patreon.
That's fine. Don't worry about Patreon. I don't need any money, mate.
We definitely do, but we aren't earning it at the moment, so we need to do that.
I've been at a right kicking off old Experian, mate. My credit rating is fucking... Oh, dear. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
It's going to be all right.
The wolves are at the door, mate. The wolves are at the door. Roger that.
Well, you know, listener, if you feel sorry for Justin, in the next month or so, Patreon will be back up. Hop on and keep him off the streets. Literally, this time. Cheers, mate. I'll speak to you again same time next week.
Good. Bye.